Matthew 6, and if you want to stand, we'll read the first six verses there. We'll look at a few more as we go through here, but we'll start with those six, and if you want to stand as we read God's word. It says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou should not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let me jump down to verse 16. "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word, and I pray for your blessing upon our time here tonight. Teach us what we need to know, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We know the Bible often talks about the heart, and in saying that, I think most of us here understand it's in English. We think, what if I said heart? What is the thought? What does that convey in English usually here in America? Love. Yeah, love. And what do we usually, if you're thinking thoughts or emotions or will, what would you think of when you think of the heart? Yeah, emotions, okay? But in the Bible, when the Bible talks about the heart, it does include emotions, but it also talks about how you think and your will, and so all of that is involved in that. 1 Peter 3:4, don't turn there, talks about the hidden man of the heart. And so it's all that you have that's hidden from the eyes of men, but not hidden from the eyes of God. Of course, nothing escapes him. But thinking of that aspect of how what's on the inside does come out on the outside, that God says, hey, your heart's very, very important. And so over in Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues." That means like a river flowing, the issue it's issuing. Out of it are the issues of life. And so from your heart gives direction. Matthew 15:8, says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips." And in the context there, in the form of worship and praise songs. "But their heart is far from me." And so God says, you know what? I want your heart involved in worship. If your heart's not involved in worship, it's not all that it should be. 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Okay, I've just seen if y'all were awake here. So God sees the true ambition on the inside. He sees those desires. He sees the character. And so there's nothing about us that is hidden from God, nothing about our heart, our internal being. Though hidden from men, God knows about it. And I would say that there's nothing that God desires more about you than to get your heart. I think that's the Proverbs in speaking of a father to a son, but I think it would also apply to the Heavenly Father with us. Give me your heart. And that's what God wants. And so tonight we're going to look at Matthew 6 here that we're talking about, because in it, it talks about the motives and directions of the heart. And so that's what I want to look at. In fact, I titled this Two Ways to Do Good. And really it's based on the motive of the heart. The Sermon on the Mount is very interesting. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Jesus, as he tells, here's what I expect of kingdom citizens, and here's how I expect them to live. And often as you go through, especially the Sermon on the Mount, you go, wow, that's impossible. And says, you got it right. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own strength. You need me. You need my help. And so Jesus wants to know, yes, there are external aspects of conduct that I expect of you, but I want you to know that I'm looking at the heart, and the heart is the key. And so Jesus, in the section here that we read tonight in Matthew 6, really looks at the motives of the heart and three primary religious practices that were especially important that day, but are still important in our day. Alms, which I'm going to call that giving. And it was primarily toward the poor, but not always. It just meant having mercy on someone's needs, but also could apply to giving to the Lord. So giving, and then prayer, and then fasting. And we probably haven't done fasting for a while, but that's a key issue as far as what God would expect of us. And so I want us to look at why we do what we do. Why do we pray? Why would we fast if we do that? Why do we give? And so that's the question. What is the purpose behind that? Is there a second slide? Oh, there is. Okay. So I'm not sure. Okay, he wrote it. Now, can I go down on this? Do you know?
No, there's a third slide.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know how he set it up. Okay. So we'll see how this goes. 2:6:16. Okay. I'm not sure if he set it up quite the way I have it, but we'll work it out, even if it's not. You know what? Let me see something. I'm sorry, I didn't see this beforehand. Oops. What'd I do? Okay. Okay, let me. I'm just seeing how he set it. Okay, he set it up a little differently than. Okay, this may work. Okay. Okay, let me go back. Okay, so as we go through this, it's not quite set up the way I want, so we'll just have to, you may have to just listen a little better. So first of all, we'll look at the wrong motives in following God. So I'm really two ways that you can do what's good, but it's not necessarily the good thing to do, okay? That doesn't make sense. But anyway, first of all, the wrong motive in following God. Verse number 1, and you can look at your Bible there, and it's back on that first part. I can go back here, so if you want to look up here, that's fine. In fact, in the first part, Jesus says, I want you to take heed. Okay, the first two little words there. And that means I want you to be aware. I want you to be listening to something. And he does talk about, it's obviously to Christians because he's talking about your Father in heaven. And so he says, I want you Christians to be aware of something, because all of us can fall in this trap with our old sinful nature. There is a concern here, and I want you to take notice of this. And what I wanted to see, which you can't really see here, but on this one, in verse number 1, it says, your alms. And then if you look at verses 2-4, it just talks about alms in general. And so I think what this is sort of a title for this whole section, and you can't really see it because of the way this got set up, which is my fault because I didn't tell him exactly what I was looking for. So it's not going to quite work the way I want. Let me see. Oh, right here it says alms, and it's talking about just alms in general. So the first one, let me say, is just the title. So the first thing says, anyway, back to that first part, take heed, okay? And so when you do your alms, which I think in this case is very general of all your religious activity, would we talk about the alms, the giving, talk about prayer, talk about fasting, it all fit under that. So he said, I want you to be concerned about your motive. Oh, sorry. So he said, if you do your alms, any of your righteous religious works before men, that's okay, because some things need to be done before men, but to be seen of them, and that's really the key issue. He said, when you do it, to be seen. Because go back to Matthew, if you look in your Bibles, go back to Matthew 5 and verse 16. Let your light so shine where? What does it say here in verse 16? Matthew's. Yeah, before men, same phrase, okay? That back there in Matthew 6, 1, okay? You do your works before men, your alms before men. So the same concept, but notice what he says here. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. I want them to see your good works. So there's not a distinct, you know, he says, okay, don't do your alms before men to be seen of men. That's the purpose. What is the purpose in Matthew 5, 16? I want them to see your works for what reason? Yeah, so ultimately they'll glorify God in heaven. So the motivation is really the key issue here. If you are doing things to be seen of men, of people, of humanity, if that is the purpose and direction, then the good you're doing is not so good. In fact, it's interesting that word seen there, it's where the Greek word behind that is where we get our English word theater. In other words, a place where people come to see. It's a place where performances are done. And he says, if you're doing a performance in what you're trying to do, and because giving alms is good in and of itself, and prayer is good in and of itself, and fasting is good. I mean, it's a good thing. God says, this is what I want you to do as God's people. But he said, if your purpose is to do a performance so people see you, then it's not so good. And so it comes back, why? Why are you doing it? So God says, hey, take heed. Be careful. Be careful that you do it to seem for men. And then he says, here is the, I'm going to call it the outcome. Otherwise, you have how much of a reward? There's no reward. Okay? You get zero. You get zilch. There's nothing there. If your motivation, now this is interesting, because it's not a bad thing you're doing. But if your motivation is to be seen, God says you get zero. There's nothing. Now that doesn't mean you're not going to heaven. The concept there is talking about your Father, but he's saying the reward doesn't go to heaven. It doesn't go to eternity. In fact, you remember, I know you're familiar, 1 Corinthians 3:12 through 13 says, now, if any man build upon this foundation, speaking of the foundation of Christ, and you got saved, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, and it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we know gold, silver, precious stone would go through the heat, but wood, hay, and stubble would be burned up. And part of that, probably, I think, and it's a different passage, obviously, but part of that is if you're doing your religious service to be seen, zero. It gets burned up. It's not there. And so I think that would apply. That's one of the aspects there. You have no reward. So that's the very general caution that he gives. And then as you come down into the next portion there in verse number 2 of chapter 6, so back to, hey, get back over there, chapter 2, verse 6, There's specifics here. And as I said, the three common things. And so he talks about the motivation of the actions here. And so it's giving, praying, fasting. And so all of those are a good thing, as I said. So notice when he says about alms. When you do these, and I guess I could show you up here. It's not set up quite the way. That's not going to work for me. So when you go, so verse 2, we can just look at verse 2 ourselves. Verse 2, and when thou doest thine alms, he said, I don't want you to sound, well, let me go back down. If you look at verse 2, let me ask you a question, then I'll let you find it. What is the motivation here, as it says, to be seen of men? How is it phrased in verse number 2? Well, no, he says something there about how in relationship to other people, how these alms are to be, that you're going to try to do them. Yeah, to get glory of men. So you're doing your alms for the purpose. I want the honor from people. I want them to recognize me. I want them to look at the good things I'm doing. I want them to praise me. Okay, and so how do they get that done? They sound the trumpet before them. It's probably not literal, but they wanted to. It's like this. Hey, look at me. Look what I'm doing. Now, no one in this room would do that. But in your heart, maybe it's thinking, I hope someone notices. I hope someone thanks me. I hope someone gets me credit. I hope someone sees what I'm doing, because this is really hard. I'm giving of myself. I'm giving, and primarily there would be giving of material goods, but we could apply it of giving ourselves in some way. It's interesting. Jesus said about Jesus, it was prophesied in Isaiah, but in Matthew 12 it says this: Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. The idea, and then that next part, it says, a smoking flax will he not quench, or burning flax, I forget how it's phrased there. But the concept there, he was not a self-promoter. Jesus didn't go to his 12 disciples, even as they prepared the way before him. They didn't say, go down there and put up a giant banner saying, hey, the Messiah is coming. Let everybody know, this is a big time, I'm here for healing, I'm here for, he didn't do all that. He said, no, his voice was not going to be heard in the streets. No, it was, but the concept there, he wasn't promoting himself. No, he's promoting the cause of God, obviously, and his situation was a little bit different. So this idea of sounding the trumpet, whether in the streets or whether it's a religious gathering in the synagogues or in the streets, in the commonplace, they wanted people to recognize them. So it's promoting self. Now, if you jump down to verse number 5 in this time of prayer. Now, how is it stated this way as far as their relationship with men? And this is... Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. To be seen of men. So it does is very similar. This is not that word theater. This has the aspect of, really, the word comes from means to shine out. It's almost like a light. And he said, oh, man, I want people, I want to put a light on myself. Hey, look at me. I want you to see what's happening here. And they do it, and as it says there, the love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the streets again, religious gatherings. Now, let me say this, standing was not an uncommon Jewish practice, okay, that they often stood where they prayed. So I don't think the standing necessarily, it'd probably be more obvious if they were kneeling in the Jews' situation there. But nonetheless, it was still the idea of I want people to see me. I want people to notice me. And then you jump down to verse 16 in the fasting there. Again, that same, it says there they appear. They want to, that they may appear unto men to fast. And that word appear is the same word there in verse number 6. Or 5:5, where it says seen, so it means to shine out. So it's interesting how they do that in that one. Notice it says they have a sad countenance. Oh, what's wrong? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm starving. I am so hungry. I've been fasting. And so you tell them how long you're fasting. And then I love the last part. The part they disfigure their faces. Oh. And what's interesting is I looked at that word disgrace or disfigure. It's a negative of that word shine, and so it's almost like it's the face is not, you know, you say someone's face is shining, it doesn't mean literally shining, it doesn't mean necessarily there's glimmer and glow to it, but it does mean, well, there's a countenance there that's just, wow, this is delightful, this is exciting, and so they disfigure it so it's not shining, and it's interesting, they make their face not to shine so that people will know they're fasting and they want that to shine out. They want to get credit for fasting by making themselves look like it's terrible to fast. Oh, I'm going through so much for God. I thought, you know, even if it wasn't fasting, oh, life is so horrible. You don't know what I'm going through for God. And just want other people to know how bad it is. So in all three of those verses, in verse 2, in verse 5, in verse 16, what is Jesus call such people? Hypocrites. Now, it is interesting. He's probably focusing because he calls them they. They do this. But it is a warning for God's people about following a same path. But I thought it's very interesting here that someone who is... The hypocrisy is this. They're doing something that's supposed to be done for God. And it's not necessarily that they're doing wickedness and hiding their wickedness, but the aspect, here's what they're showing. I'm doing this for God, but you know, really, I'm not doing it for God. I'm doing it for me because I want to be seen. And Jesus said, that's hypocrisy. Not necessarily that you're hiding some wicked thing behind there, but you're hiding the very fact that you're really doing this all for yourself and not for God. I won't ask, but I sure if I had a show of hands that all of us at times have done some religious service that was good, that we were motivated to be seen or be known or be thanked. Somehow, in some way, we wanted people to recognize us. So we're doing something that is supposedly focusing on God, but we're really promoting ourselves. And so let's be careful about that. So God says, you know what, in all three of these references, what is the reward? It's at the very end of verse 2, very end of verse 5, very end of verse 16. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verily I say unto you, that means an oath of truthfulness. Jesus said, I want to reveal something to you that is certain from the heaven, from the realms of heaven. They have their reward. In fact, back up in verse 1, where Jesus says, otherwise you have no reward. And that word have there is just it's very small. It's a three-letter Greek verb. Well, in when it says they, verily they have, it's the same word, but then there's an emphasis to it. And some people said that when in New Testament days, that when a bill was paid in full, that was the word they used. It was the word to have, but it's an emphasis on it. And it's like God saying, you know what? Jesus says, you know what? When that's the thing, when you're looking for the praise of men, the honor of men, to be appear before men and all this kind of stuff, he says, that's it. That's what you get. That's all. Now, you may get that. And let me say this. If you're doing your works to be, if you're doing your works for God so people would glorify God, there's going to be times they will see what you do. For instance, let me ask you, how could I preach without being seen of men? Yeah, I can't do it. Okay, if someone was going out tonight and say they tripped and fell and knocked out, you know, dropped something and you were there to help them up, how could you do that without them knowing that you did it? You can't. It's impossible. So it's not that you're never seen, but your motivation in doing it is not to be seen. You're not doing it just so you, for instance, you know, if somebody was ahead of a certain committee in church, and then once they were no longer heading up that committee and they still could, but they decide not to, and they say, nah, I don't think so. If I'm not going to head it up, I'll just, well, why were you doing it in the first place? So Jesus said, you know what? That's all you get. If that's why you do it, then that's all you get. Now, on the right side, let's look at the right side before we go, so we get some positive here. So in verse number 3, and again, it's interesting, verse 3, verse 6, verse 17, they all start almost the same way, but when thou, okay? And so Jesus doesn't say if, he says when. He says, you know, as a Christian, these are things you ought to be doing. So verse number 3, but when thou doest alms. And then in verse number 6, but thou, when thou prayest, verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest. And so all these things are what you do. And so he gives some direction here about how they were doing it. So when your alms, let your left hand, not your left hand know what your right hand doeth. And I think the concept there is just, it's not to be ostentatious. It's not to be known. Not to promote yourself in that sense. So as if you drop something in, say you're giving alms and you're helping someone on this side, your left hand doesn't even know what's happening. So again, it will be known at times, but it's not that you're promoting it to be known. I think that's the whole concept Jesus is trying to get across. And then when you come to verse 6, praying, enter your closet, when thou hast shut thy door. Of course, that's contrast with the hypocrites who want to be seen, want to be known. God is saying, get alone with God. Now let me ask you this. Can you do that if you're on a bus going downtown? I think so, at times. Let me say this. I think you need to get alone at times, though, where everything's shut out because everything's so distracting. And the concept is, get alone with God. That's what prayer is all about. And then when thou fastest, in contrast to the hypocrites, anoint thy head and wash thy face. You know, don't appear. Again, that word appear. Don't appear unto men to fast. Don't be promoting yourself as doing this sacrifice, in a sense. To let people know. And then, so the reward from that, in all three of these verses, he says, thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God notices. In fact, that was the first thing that caught my attention. God that seeth in secret. That can be scary to the hypocrite. That can be scary to the wicked. But when your heart is what it should be. He says, I see in secret. I see in secret when you're giving and maybe no one notices. I see in secret the prayers that you're making for the people that sit next to you in Bible study hour and how you've prayed for them. I see all that. They don't know, but I know. When you take time to fast because you have a burden or you just want to see God's blessing and so you skip meals for His glory and for His honor. He said, I see all that. And so God that seeth in secret, he says, I'll reward you openly. Now what that means, it's interesting because it would contrast the aspect of the hypocrites trying to make themselves known. And he says, okay, people see that, that's all you get. And God says, okay, I'm going to reward you openly. There is an aspect there. It's not going to keep hidden. I want you to, and I think probably it's for you in a sense that you will know that I'm blessing you. You will know that I'm putting my reward upon you. Because it doesn't always mean, I think most of us here know that, it's not necessarily going to be in material things, though it could be. You're giving. Someone said, when God sees you have a slippery finger, he'll keep giving you stuff to give away. But when you start being a grippy finger, sometimes it stops. But God knows your effort and your desire to serve. And so I would say on these things, the reward will always come and make you more like Christ. Always. I think you'll be rewarded openly in the sense of you'll be more useful in His service than you were before. And I think you'll hear more of that well done in eternity. There's always blessing when you serve. It may just not become in earthly things. But I thought one more thing. What is the motivation that would cause us to do these things as Jesus would have us to do from the heart? What is the key to all of that? Love. We sang a song at the beginning. I don't think Chris picked this because he knew what I was preaching. A Passion for Thee. It says, let love for Christ every motive inspire. When you pray, let's pray out of love for Christ. If we fast, let's do so out of love for Christ. As we give, let's do so out of love for Christ. And any other thing we do in Christian service, say, Lord, I want to, and that could be a prayer. You know, Lord, help me to love you. So the motivation of my heart, when I help others, it's because I love you. When I serve others, it's because I love you. When I preach, I teach, I give the gospel, it's because I love you. So sometimes it's hard to rip out the wrong motives, but I think if we can just put in the right motives, it'll take care of a lot of that. So just be careful. I'll give this illustration, I'll close. You just never know when the ugly head of self-praise will raise its head. A number of years ago, at the time, I think it was the time I was memorizing the book of Romans, and I had, at one time I could memorize, I could say it took me an hour and a half to go through the book of Romans, but I could go from 1:1 to 16, I don't remember how many verses are in it now. But I was memorizing at the time, and I had little cards, and my wife's remember all my little cards I had, and sometimes they went through the wash a time or two. So I'd go through those. And when I was at camp one time, I'd usually go walking whenever I did my verses, and I'd just go walking and I'd do them. Well, that morning, I think it was raining, so I was in the lunchroom area, the cafeteria, and it's fairly long. It's probably a little longer than this. And so I was just going up and down, and there was no lights on at the time, but the kitchen crew started coming in and such. And so I'm just going over them because it took me a little while. So I'm going over them. And then it came out of nowhere. It just says, I wonder if anybody's noticing what you're doing. And you shake your head trying to get, I don't want to think that way. I couldn't get it out. And it was so weird. And I'm thinking, I wonder if anybody knows, I wasn't going to stop because I was going to do the verses. And I thought, I'll go outside. No, it's raining. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to finish this. If I don't finish it now, I won't get it done later. But that bugged me about, I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes where it just kept thinking, I wonder if anybody sees me. I wonder if anybody notices. I wonder if someone's going to ask me what I'm doing so I can tell them, hey, I'm memorizing the book of Romans, you know? And so it was really bad. And so I'll just say this, you never know. So anyway, you know, that day, spending the time, I didn't get any rewards. I got it. In fact, I didn't get anybody asking me. I got it because in my own mind, I was thinking maybe I could get it. So there are times that we often wonder, maybe times of discouragement, wonder, well, no one ever thanks me for this service. It's okay. It's okay. We'll all be tempted. Just fight it off. Lift the shield of faith. But keep serving. Say, God, give me a purity of heart. Give me a purity of mind so that what I do it for you and for the love of others. And God bless us with that truth. Father, thank you for this evening. We pray that you'd help us as we serve you. And Lord, I know three things are mentioned here about giving and praying and fasting. But Lord, there are other avenues of Christian service. And Father, we pray that as we serve you, as we serve here at Galilee Baptist Church, that our motivation ultimately will be to, because we love you and we love others because of what you've done for us as well, that would be the motive by what we would do what we do. Father, please be pleased with us. Help us to follow you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.